Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems Q3 FY 2021 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Giriraj. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning to all. On behalf of R Systems, I welcome all participants to Q3 2021 earnings conference call. We hope all of you are doing well, staying safe and healthy. Today, we have a senior management of R Systems with us in this call. We will start the call with opening remarks on the performance of the company by Dr. Preki, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand, business overview by Mr. Ravidas. Thereafter, we'll have a closer statement by Dr. Preki. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains certain forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statements. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future event, or otherwise. Actual result, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. With this, I am handing over to Dr. Preki for his comments. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Giri. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being a part of this investor call. I trust all of you and your loved ones are safe and keeping well. Safety and well-being of our employees is paramount to us, and we have helped our employees and their families get vaccinated. We are also evaluating options for work from office or hybrid working in a phased manner. The technology companies have continued to be benefited by renewed focus towards adaptation of digital technologies post this pandemic. The businesses have accepted the new normal and have started exploring new products, business models to convert the challenges into opportunities. I'm extremely proud of R Systems team for their commitment and efficient working in these times and on these lines. With this, I would like to present an overview of R Systems for the benefit of all those who are joining this conference for the first time. R Systems was established in 1993 in California as a software engineering company and is now spread across three continents with 18 development and service centers worldwide. R Systems delivers digital transformation services with new types of innovation and creativity to businesses in various industries: technology, telecom, digital media, healthcare and life sciences, finance and insurance, and retail and e-commerce. Our deep industry domain knowledge, combined with our expertise in big data, advanced analytics, AI, mobility, IoT, RPA, and cloud, has helped in transformation of businesses in this digital age. We concluded quarter three with a revenue of rupees 306 crores, that is $41.4 million. The year-on-year growth was 36% and quarter-on-quarter was 12%. The growth has been outstanding on the back of new deal closures, deepened relationships with existing customers, and continued traction towards product engineering and digital services. The EBITDA for the quarter was 16% as against similar EBITDA margin last year and 13.4% in previous quarter. The quarter-on-quarter EBITDA margins have improved primarily on account of revenue growth and improved utilization. We have onboarded more than 290 associates to cater to the growing demand. The full impact of headcount addition will be reflected in coming quarters. We are still keeping some bandwidth to handle near-term attrition challenges. Attrition has increased across the industry as there is a shortage of talent because of the increase in demand. We are taking several measures to control attrition. Profit after tax was Rs. 38 crores as against Rs. 27 crores same quarter last year and Rs. 46 crores in quarter 2, 2021. The profit after tax for quarter 2, 2021 was benefited by inclusion of Rs. 22.3 crores under other income due to recognition of stimulus given by U.S. government. We continue to have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of Rs. 503 crores and net cash balances of Rs. 292 crores to support liquidity and growth. The board has approved second interim dividend of Rs. 3.2 per share, aggregating to Rs. 37.6 crores. We serve $38 million customers, including five customers contributing US $3 million plus revenues. We added 12 key customers during the quarter. I will now hand over to Nand, our CFO, to provide you a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Dr. Ekli. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was Rs. 305.8 crores or $41.4 million. Quarter-on-quarter increase of 11.8% and year-on-year increase of 36.3%. We have experienced a robust revenue growth for our technology and digital services. We are quite optimistic for coming quarters and are strengthening our leadership team to cater to growth opportunities. There has been good growth from existing customers on top of adding 12 key wins during this quarter. Getting down to gross margin, it was 37.6% in this quarter compared to 35.6% in last quarter and 37.9% in the same quarter last year. Increase of 200 basis points is on account of growth in the business supported by improved utilization. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter on quarter by Rs. 5.5 crores. It was Rs. 66.2 crores in this quarter compared to Rs. 60.7 crores last quarter. The increase is mainly due to addition of new sales and pre-sales staff along with increased digital market spends. EBITDA in this quarter was Rs. 48.9 crores or $6.6 million compared to 36.6 crores or $5 million. Last quarter and 35.6 crore or $4.8 million in the same quarter last year. This is a record of EBITDA ever achieved by our system in a quarter. The EBITDA in the similar quarter last year was 16% and previous quarter was 13.4%. Revenue growth and increased utilization has led the margin improvement despite keeping sufficient bench strength for growth opportunities. We continue to witness strong pipeline for technology and digital services. This will help in further improving the year-to-date EBITDA margins in coming quarters. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was Rs. 7.1 crores compared to Rs. 6.3 crores last quarter and Rs. 6.4 crores in the same quarter last year. Interest expense is Rs. 1.2 crore in this quarter compared to Rs. 1.1 crore last quarter. Interest expense is primarily due to adoption of Ind AS 116 and we are near debt free. Other income in this quarter was positive Rs. 6.2 crores compared to Rs. 24.9 crores last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and net exchange gains. For last quarter, it was included Rs. It also included Rs. 22.3 crores as a result of forgiveness of loan received during financial year 2020 in USA under SBA Payroll Protection Program. Interest income for the quarter was rupees 1.8 crore. The exchange income during the quarter is rupees 3.1 crore compared to rupees 19 lakh last quarter. As at the end of the quarter, we had forward cover of $28.7 million with average rate of rupees 76.75 and euro cover of $1.9 million with average rate of rupees 92.03, which have already been marked to market at closing rate of 30th September. Our tax expense was rupees 9.1 crore in this quarter as against rupees 8 crore last quarter. Our effective tax rate during the quarter is 19.5%, primarily due to efficient benefits and lower tax rate in European and Singapore subsidiaries. Last quarter effective tax rate of 14.7% was lower due to U.S. stimulus recorded under other income, not subject to federal tax. Net profit after tax was rupees 37.6 crore or $5.1 million compared to rupees 46.2 crore or $6.3 million last quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is rupees 3.14. Getting down to asset side in the balance sheet, total receivables at the end of the quarter were rupees 149.1 crores compared to rupees 131.3 crores at the end of December quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 45 days as at the end of this quarter compared to 43 days as at the end of December quarter. Net cash balance was rupees 291.9 crore at the end of quarter compared to rupees 303.1 crore at the end of December quarter. We have been constantly generating cash from the business. The board has approved second interim dividend of rupees 3.2 per share aggregating to rupees 37.8 crores to reward shareholders. Our system shareholder fund was rupees 502.6 crore at the end of the quarter compared to rupees 426.8 crore at the end of December quarter. We have a strong balance sheet to support liquidity and growth. With that, let me hand over to Aviraj for the view of operations.
Thank you, Nan. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. I hope everybody is doing good. We continue to focus on digital technology and digital transformation. The strategy and focus has been helping us in our growth journey. We'd like to give you a brief flavor of our global operations. Digital transformation continued to be the focus for us on select key verticals like technology, telecom, finance, insurance, healthcare, life sciences, retail, and e-commerce. Our digital transformation offerings include cloud analytics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data science, speech analytics, RPA, IoT, Salesforce, and these continued to be our arrowhead for growth. The cloud side, we work on all the leading platforms such as Amazon, Microsoft Azure, Google. We are an advanced partner with Amazon, bold partner of Salesforce, and we see significant opportunity in cloud in this space. On analytics side, we see huge growth in ML/AI, data and speech analytics. We are currently serving many key clients in this space, and there are a lot of opportunities that are coming our way. On mobility, we work on a wide range of technology such as Android, on Android, iOS hybrid, and web apps, right from enterprise to mobile apps. We had 12 key wins during this quarter. Some of the brief key wins are as below. One of the key wins, which is a Canadian healthcare technology provider that optimizes operation and enhance productivity for dental service providers. They have engaged our system to modernize their legacy platform that can help them doing the actionable insight and use data science and engineering. Another one is a US-based global provider of technology and business services to telco. They have awarded our system to enhance signaling technology to analyze traffic and develop new features. Another one is a UK-based early stage company offering all in one family healthcare through web technology. And they have engaged our system to digitize their products for healthcare insurance and on-demand healthcare services for the Asia-Pacific market. Another one is a Singapore-based Asian watch and jewelry brand and retail company. They have awarded our system APAC Division a project to upgrade their central version of Navision application to Dynamics 365 Business Central and LS Central to integrate various business processes to deliver financial visibility and operational excellence. Another one in Singapore is one of the leading Japanese printer electronic component and system device company. They have engaged our system consulting to upgrade Cloud Suite industrial sightline ERP to enhance product certification traffic system in Singapore region. In term of our technical headcount, we have increased from 3,013 Q2 to 3,327 in Q3. We have added 290 plus technical associates to support growth and a strong sales funnel. Utilization, we have increased from 76.7 in Q2 to 77.7, mainly due to disciplined execution and growth in the business. Quarterly, by geography, North America contributes 70.2%, Europe 12.8%, Southeast Asia 13.7%, and rest of the world 3.3%. On quarterly client concentration, top 10 clients contribute 23.4% with the largest 7%. With a brief overview, I will hand over back to Dr. Rekhi for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhiraj. Let me sum up. We reported 28% revenue growth with improved EBITDA margins during the first 9 months of the financial year 2021. We remain focused to partner with customers in delivering successful digital transformation solutions. We endeavor to utilize the strong balance sheet to support operations and growth. We continue to invest in sales, pre-sales, digital marketing, and in newer technologies. These are helping us win larger digital transformation projects. The business outlook continues to be positive with a strong demand environment as evident from the strong sales pipeline. We are confident of continuing this growth momentum and margin expansion in the coming quarters. That brings us to the end of our presentation today, and we will hand you back to the organizers for getting your questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one. The first question is on the line of Sonal from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. This is Sonal. I have two questions, sir. First one was regarding your segments in which you operate. Just wanted to understand which are the larger segments where you are an established player and therefore incremental sales happen easier. Compared to segments which are where you are investing in, that's the first one. And also want to understand, like, given your size is growing and you're expanding, is there like a set funnel in terms of you being pre-qualified for certain type of companies, let's say $1 billion top line companies or Fortune companies or government contracts, which open up with scale for you in the next 2 to 3 years? Just want to understand these two.
Thank you, Sonal. Regarding the segment, technology constitutes the biggest segment for us. 60% of business comes out of technology. And within technology, I think telecom with close to 30%. We are also the second big sector, the segment would be the healthcare, around 10-12%, banking and finance, retail and e-commerce. So broadly, these are the 4-5 segments where we primarily operate in, and we are growing in these segments in by leaps and bounds. Coming up to the pre-qualification, we are close to, on a run rate basis, we did 41 million. So we are close to $165 million company In fact, last year we closed close to 119 million. So I think we are, I mean, that's not a big issue. I think we are qualified for bidding or for that reason. So for most of the big projects or even the governments also. And our market cap is also close to right now 2,800 crores. So I think that way we have not faced any challenge, and we come across big organization like Infosys, TCS, Mindtree, Persistent, and all that. So I don't see much content in that from that point. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So I think we have lost the current participant. So a reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. We have the next question from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm a, like, I'm like analyzing a company for the first time. So I have a few very basic questions. Sir, firstly, what are the key service lines for the company? Like, is it outsourced product development, like managed services? Can you take us through like the key horizontals for the company? Yeah.
Okay. Since you're joining for the time, let me tell you, our system is a product engineering and digital transformation company. So out of, we are close to, on a run rate basis, $160 million company with 3,800 associates across the globe. The biggest business comes out of product engineering, which earlier used to be called core engineering or outsourced product development. This business is close to, I would say, $125 million out of that $160 million run rate. Another $10 million business is RCM, knowledge services business. That makes it close to $135 million. And around $20 to $25 million business comes out of Southeast Asia, where we are reseller to Microsoft and Infor products. So that is the broad breakup of, you know, $155 to $160 million run rate company. And regarding employees' point of view, we are close to 2,600 to 700 employees in India. We are in Noida as well as in Chennai, around 100 people in Chennai, and 2,600 close to in Noida. And we are in Eastern Europe, Romania, Poland, Moldova, close to 400 employees. In USA, we are close to 250 employees. The core front-end sales team sits in US, 30 front-end sales people. And also we're doing a lot of project nearshore work, where we have close to 200 employees. In Southeast Asia, would be close to Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, close to 400 odd employees. So that's the broad breakup. So the core product engineering and digital transformation is the strength and the biggest vertical where our revenue is close to 125 to 130 million.
Thanks for the detailed explanation, sir. As a follow-up question, sir, in product engineering, can you like just give a sense of what is the nature of clients that you serve? Is it like larger software vendors like Microsoft, or is it like more new age client players like cloud players like Salesforce? Can you take us through the nature of clients and also, as a follow-up to that, like, what is the nature of the work you do in terms of, like, is it more project-oriented or is it more annuity in nature? That will be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, Virag, I think he will be able to.
Okay. So thank you, and it is a very good question that you have asked. And typically, our customers are ISVs in the range of, from, you can say, $35 to $150 million, though we would like to work with Microsoft and Lyco Microsoft. And typical work that we do is all the product engineering. It can be a new product development, taking the cloud to the product to the cloud, can be maintenance support,
or you know, all kind of product services. We call it full lifecycle product lifecycle. Can be product development, maintenance, support, enhancement, porting, testing, tuning, the full lifecycle. So we do everything. Typically, a customer that engages with us, they may start at any cycle, maybe you know initially some development, but the life cycle goes on. There are a lot of customers who are sticky with us for over a decade. So business is very sticky in the product business. A customer when engaged with us, they continue for a very long duration. And some of the larger ones are also our clients. So did I answer your question?
Yes, sir. In fact, could you also take me through like the nature of the revenue for you for these clients? Like, is it more project oriented or annuity, and how has that transformed over time?
It is generally a fixed team model. A customer will sign up for a fixed team of let's say 50 people or whatever number, and the core team they always maintain, and based on the business up or down, the team may scale up or sometime marginally scale down. And as their business grow, we grow with them. Generally, these are a fixed team, you know, annual contracts which renew year after year.
Get that. Okay. And sir, on the digital transformation side, also can you explain like what type of work you do? And is it again like more for the like product development side for your ISV clients, or do you actually directly serve enterprises to like help them with their digital transformation? How is it?
It's still on the transformation side. Majority of our business still coming from OPD, but we have been trying to focus on enterprise for last 2 years, and we have some good success. So current volume is high on the OPD side or the ISV side, but we have already started working a lot of enterprise clients in this space. And we see good traction in this space down the line.
Get that. Do you have a concept? Sorry, please go on. Sorry.
So a lot of product engineering clients are now shifting to digital and adding to the core product engineering business. Maybe out of the product engineering business, maybe 25 to 30% is now in the digital transformation space.
Okay, okay. And sir, what percentage of your revenue would be sort of annuity in nature? Do you track that, and if there are like effort to increase that, how can I tell you
the effort to increase? Maybe none can talk about the number. You see, our repeat business from existing customer is to the tune of 85 to 90%. So there are year on year repeat. And we grow every year we grow the business. There are some startups who kind of die down, but there are others who grow. So there is a generally growth. This year has been exceptional. Many of our clients have grown very high. Some have even doubled. So there is a continuous effort to do product innovation and UI, UX and cloud, you know, proof of concept for clients. If they like that, help us to grow the business with them. There is a continuous effort. There is a whole sales and relationship model that we have, which help us to grow these clients. Nanji, you may like to throw some light on the numbers.
Yes, sure. I will do that. So, the agreed is, I think, 85 to 90%. So what happens is that a customer who starts with us, like we start with the product development, then there is an enhancement of the product and different versions of the product. And once the product is made, you have to maintain the product and you know, regular upgradation and all that. So if you be out of that 100% of product engineering which I mentioned, I would say that 85% business would be kind of a repeat business, and we work as an extended arm of the customer. So I mean, to simplistically answer your question, the annuity kind of business would be 80 to 85%, and but some ramp up, ramp down keeps on happening on how the customer is performing. If customer grows, we also grow that way. So that is a broad flavor.
Get that, sir. And sir, who would be your typical competitors for the kind of clients that you serve? Like, what I understand, you mentioned that it is smaller sized like software vendors. So would it be persistent, Mindtree? Can you take us through like your competitive landscape? Yeah.
I think you answered two. Third one, maybe Global Logic is again we compete with them. So like OPD player, you know, there are quite a few of them. So Global Logic, Mindtree, Persistent, we compete.
You can three people come out of four, five kind of OPD players sometimes. So these are in business they are competing with.
Get that. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you well.
Sir, as a follow-up to that, can you take us through like last 2 years, how have you seen this OPD space evolve? Like what we understand is that like even in OPD, typical players like Persistent, Global Logic, we are focusing a lot on the enterprise side. And also like the for some of the larger US-based players like EPAM and all, if you look at their growth, that has been explosive and like that has also been driven by like very large scale-up in the size of like accounts and services. Typically, like this kind, like the work used to be very project-oriented, but the digital, like and then especially digital transformation, the size of projects have really grown for some of these players. So how are you witnessing this space evolve and how is it for you? Yeah.
So, Nanji, I can take that on. I think either they are trying to take their product to cloud or doing the digital transformation, they have done it or they are doing it. Because we have a lot of projects or work that is coming to us in the cloud or digitization. Once you do it, this is a large chunk of work. But this won't be, you know, there for long. Once you do it, then you come in a, you know, sustain more or you want new product offering and all that. So we see good growth coming in this space for now and maybe some more years. But we are also trying to focus and we have been focusing on enterprise client as well, like Salesforce. We are increasing our footprint or Microsoft offering, whether it is, you know, Navision, CRM, Exerta, and some of the enterprise. So we are trying to focus a lot on this, and RP is another area we have grown. So along with OPD, we are growing our enterprise business.
Yes, that's true. Actually, I was also referring more to the enterprise side, which seems to be more sticky, and the size of deals are also going up. So for that, like, can you take us through what kind of sales effort or like sales team ramp up or additions you have done in the past 2 years? That will be helpful. Yeah.
Well, actually, we have invested a lot in last 2 years on sales. There are a lot of sales people addition in US as well as in Europe as well. And what we are trying to do, we are trying to focus sales along with the technology, let's say on RPA, we may have a core sales team in US or other places and the account manager in India. So it's kind of a collaborative and same thing we are trying to repeat with the Microsoft or Salesforce, the same space. So it is a sales and relationship, the two bundled together, trying to make the offering in the enterprise space.
Get that. So as a last question, how do you see the organization in maybe 3 to 4 years down the line? Like, what's your aspiration in terms of whatever your client, the type of clientele, offerings, size? And secondly, as a follow-up to that, does the organization need like some senior level hires or like strengthening of the management team? What's your thought on that? Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, I think we have grown to.
Hello.
Your voice is broken, Andy.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, better now.
Thank you.
So what I said is that in the last 2-4 years, we have almost doubled our business, doubled our revenue, and on a run rate of 100. Million, we have grown 30%, I think the aim is to kind of double the business in next 3 years' time. That is the aim. And we have done pretty well. I mean, last 2-3 years, we have increased. I mean, all this come has to a lot of efforts. We have increased our domain expertise. We have hired domain expertise in this. We have hired sales, pre-sales, and we continue to invest in all these things. And our aim is to kind of double in next maybe 3 years. That answers your question.
Yeah, that's really thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Bhati as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I'm Sameer Bhati here. My question is, first of all, I'd like to thank the management for the liberal 3 rupees 20 paise dividend which they have given, apart from 2 rupees 50 paise, final dividend given earlier. Also, the buyback process was recently completed. Last con call, some tele caller also alluded to or asked for a liberal bonus so as to allow more amount of retail participation. So my question is that is management thinking of some kind of a bonus or some sort of another way of or any other thing to award the retail shareholder? And I am invested since the IPO days, and it gives immense pleasure to be associated with such a wonderful company.
Thank you, Sameer.
Thank you.
I mean, if you have invested in that IPO price, I mean, we are almost 10 times. I mean, IPO came at 22 days to 40 to 50, whatever. So I think we are happy to have, an investor like you who have been with us all the time. So we are a shareholder friendly company, and we want to reward shareholder, grow business as well, and that is what we are doing. Regarding the bonus, I think this point was discussed in last board meeting. I mean, maybe as of now we feel this is not the right time, but I think this is a good suggestion. Actually, we will reconsider. We will discuss that in future board meetings. As I think it's a good suggestion. The price is also now increased. So good suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. We have a follow-up question from the line of Sonal Menas from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead. Sonal, your line is unmuted. Please unmute your line.
Hi.
And proceed with the question.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay, all right. I think my colleague Anubhav asked a few questions basically. So most of it is answered. Just wanted to understand, sir, how your sales team has been ramping up and what are the plans to basically grow the team or improve their productivity in the year, maybe 1 or 2 year perspective? Just want to understand that specifically. Rest of my questions have been answered.
Very good. I think I touched upon that in one of the previous answers. We have expanded our sales team, pre-sales team, domain expertise team, and this has helped us. I mean, if you honestly ask me, 30-35% growth, which we have achieved in this year, is on the back of all these things, being undertaken. We want to grow. I mean, there is no doubt about it. We want to be, one of the persistent or one of the mighty of this world. So we want to grow, and we'll continue doing all these things. And I think we have a very robust evaluation for our sales team. And you will find 1 or 2 not performers, which we keep on pruning and all that. But I think the team is doing well. I mean, they have done well this year. Last year was a pandemic year, so we can't, that was an exception. But I think our team is doing well.
And just to add what Nal said, we have a global implementation of Salesforce for our sales team. Everyone is aligned to a vertical geography or, area. And we have a huge marketing team who create the funnel and all that they load and sales follow them. So that is a rigorous process of, creating the funnel to closer. And it's a global implementation of Salesforce for our entire sales team. that help us to track individual performance, account, opportunity.
Got it. Got it. And I'm assuming the headcount basically there is ramping up.
Sales headcount is ramping up, correct.
I got it. Last year, we have added close to 8 million. And this quarter, we are doing well. I mean, October has gone well. I think this quarter also we see good.
Got it, sir. So just two questions. One around the next. I think if I'm not wrong, last year, last call, and the follow-up discussions we've had, We are sticking by our next year target, next financial year targets of reaching roughly close to $200 million, and being in a similar margin mix. So this is more bookkeeping from my side. Just wanted to understand that, given how you're seeing the next quarter and the year ahead.
So now we have grown close to 30% this year.
Sure.
We'll be like on a run rate basis close to 155 or 12. I mean, we have done 112 million, 112.5 million in our first 9 months. Assuming 41, 41.5 this year, we'll be close to 154, 155 kind of. I mean, if we do 30%, then I think 200 million is not very fast. But I think as of now, the demand is exceptional. There is a lot of demand. The problem is of resources. So I think we have a lot of.
Sir, your voice.
Is again breaking.
So, I said the demand from demand side there is no problem. I mean the business is there, and the challenges of resources which we are trying to kind of push and trying to attract talent. I think I am quite hopeful.
Got it. Got it, sir. And last bookkeeping question, which has been around your tax rate. Just want a clarification. The number actually is close to 16-17%. So what is it that we should be blending, considering for our own internal working and projections going ahead for this financial year and the next financial year?
We have done close to 20%. I think this quarter...
This quarter is 20%.
And last quarter was less because of the write back of that USA PPP loan. I think 20% is a ballpark. See, we in Noida, we are in SEZ. Half of the business or more than half of the business comes out of SEZ. Singapore and European, there is a lesser tax rate, as you would know. So I think close to 20% is the ballpark effective tax rate.
Got it, sir. Okay, thanks. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, what portion of your revenue, what is the division between offshore and onshore? Is the business more offshore in nature?
72% business comes out of offshore, around 28% is onsite. So I think major portion comes out of offshore.
And what has been the trend, sir? Like, has offshoring picked up in the last 1 year or so? How has it been for you?
I think 2-3 years before, you used to be 65-66%. Today we are. So I think there is a ongoing growth onsite as well, offshore as well. But offshore has grown better, and there are better gross margins in the offshore business. So that has helped us improve margins also. So offshore is comparatively grown better than offshore.
Get that. And sir, also, what kind of attrition have you seen in the last quarter? And is it manageable?
Attrition at project manager and above level is very less. But at the below level, it has increased, to be honest, within last 1 year. We used to have 10-12%. This year, it will be 20%. I mean, it's around 20% kind of range. It has increased, but we have taken several steps to kind of, we are now recruiting across India, place is not a constraint. Earlier, now even we should have recruited from where we do not have the offices, because work from home has become very, worked very well for us. So we are taking a lot of action to kind of, we are doing some, housekeeping stuff also. So let's say the work in progress.
Get that. And sir, what is your like salary hike cycle? When do you typically take that? And do you see like further hikes or like some other incentives in the coming quarters? Now, yeah.
Normally, our salary hike happens 1st of January. But I mean, we have a different system. See. Annual result happens in March, so that is the trend. But last year, you know, for a few months, you know, because of the pandemic, we have kept our hold. So,
your voice is breaking quite.
Sir, your voice is breaking. Yeah.
I said, is it better now?
Yes, please.
I said that in first of January, majority of employees. 50% will be due for appraisal. We'll have to do much better than what we did last year. So I think we have to manage that. Having said that, with the kind of growth we have achieved this year, we are initiating a lot of billing rate increase. So, you know, I think we'll be able to we'll have to do much better than what we have done last year. And but we will manage it through improved utilization, improved billing rates, so that is the aim.
Get that. And sir, longer term, where do you see the operating margins of the company? Like, is this the sustainable level, 15-16% kind of, or given the supply side challenges, you see a like pressure on the margins in the coming quarter?
Anubhav, we did 13.3% EBITDA last year. This year we have already done 14.1% in first 9 months. Normally Q4 is better compared to the previous Q3, Q4 are better. So the aim is to do 14.5% at least for this year. I have a feeling that we'll be able to sustain that. But I want to remind you that last year and in the first 9 months, there are a lot of cost savings as well, which may not be of that level. I mean, some will continue, some may not continue. So, but with the kind of growth we have witnessed this year and the way we see it next year, within this attrition challenge and this recruitment challenge, what we talked about, I have a feeling that we will be able to maintain, rather should be able to improve our maybe 50 to 75 basis points margin. I mean, I'm quite hopeful of that.
We are seeking higher rate on the new contract. Existing client also, we are taking the rate increase for many.
Sure. And sir, just a last suggestion. If like from the coming quarter in your presentation, you could also share the like account size details, like in terms of like how many $1 million, $5 million clients you have, and a trend of that over the quarter. That will be helpful, like, because it helps us to understand how your accounts are ramping up over time. Just a suggestion from my side, and thanks and all the best.
We do that. As of date, I think we have reported in investor presentation, 38 customers are more than $1 million and 5 are more than $3 million. Okay. I think we report.
Sorry,
that. We can put it in a more kind of number wise, I think, maybe trend wise also. We can do that.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's all.
A reminder to our participants, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Reiki for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, Doctor.
Thank you, everybody, for your time and your questions. With this, we come to the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of our systems, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.